Episode 534, Books, 2017.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Ben Anderson.
And I'm Ben DeMoro, and we're here to talk about some books.
Everybody, it's season 7 of the Sci-Fi Christian.
Oh, is this the official kickoff?
This is the official kickoff. Unless we record other episodes and decide to reorder them, this is the first one we're recording. Because what we could do, so here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to record books, then we're going to record news, and if we have time, we'll do our 2017 in preview.
Okay.
And if we do that tonight, I probably will make that first, and then I'll renumber everything.
Oh, I see.
So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
In fact, let's assume this is the first one, though. We'll see.
Okay.
No big deal. So, books. This is the.
But it's going to kind of be disappointing because, like, we're going to be gone for a while after tonight, most likely.
Well, probably.
Because you're reproducing. And
yeah. So,
I mean,
we just had a doctor.
Reproduced.
Yeah. We had a doctor's appointment this afternoon. Our second little girl is going to be arriving any day. So, the due date isn't until next Wednesday. So, 8 days from today.
Right.
As we record. But, yeah, it could happen anytime. So, the plan for us, Ben, I haven't told you this yet.
I think
you should come back again next Tuesday. I think we should record every week until the baby comes, if possible.
That's probably just this week.
That's probably I think we might be able to get next week, maybe.
Yeah.
And then after that, we'll start playing our hiatus episodes. And then after that, I think we're going to have to go to every other week, because Des and I have already been talking about how is she going to take two kids out of here every Tuesday night. Because basically... So for those of you that are new to the podcast, we actually record here in my living room, and we're at my kitchen table right now. And unfortunately, my wife and 2-year-old daughter have to leave every week that we record. But my wife likes it because she gets to hang out with her sister then every week. But guess what, Ben? When that newborn comes, it's not going to be easy for her to haul a 2-year-old, a newborn, out into the cold because it's January here.
Well, couldn't we take the children out there for her?
Yeah, I guess you're right. Maybe we could just put them in the car.
If that's the big obstacle, I think we could overcome that.
No, you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I understand.
I mean, I guess we could just make her drive around for 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's warm in there.
Yeah, exactly.
So all that to say, Ben, I think we're going to have to go to an every other week schedule in 2017. So that's kind of a big announcement.
That's okay.
Speaking of big announcements, maybe I don't know how we'll reorder these episodes, but if you haven't heard the news episode yet, tune in. We have to tell you if we met our goal.
Well, you can just go to the website.
Did we meet the goal to raise $5,000 for the water fund? That was the water fund we were raising in conjunction with One Day's Wages, which you can find at onedayswages.org. This water fund.
I think we're done promoting them now.
This water fund was bringing water to places around the world that don't have access to clean water. So thank you, listeners who donated. Find out on the news episode if we met our goal. Okay, Ben. Let's do it.
Yeah, books. We don't have any charities lined up for this year.
Well, let's talk during the hiatus and pick one, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. I heard of this De Bono charity. That's pretty solid. I
want to hear more about that.
Yeah.
All right. So books, talk about it. What are we going to do tonight?
Well, we're going to do what we usually do. We're going to talk about what we usually do on the books episode anyway.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about books, what we read in 2016.
Are we going to take a look at the surveys from last year?
No, I don't have that ready.
What? That's the whole point. We have people fill out surveys a year ahead, and then we...
No. We had people fill out surveys for what they did this last year. We're going to read the surveys they just sent in.
Well, wait a second. You need to know... You have to look at the guesses from last year to see who won.
I've got that.
So you do have the survey results from 2016.
For the guesses. Yeah.
Not the ones that they just filled out, right?
I have the ones they just filled out.
But that doesn't count.
I have the guesses they made last year.
Yes, that's
so
what I
can tell you who the winners are for that.
That's all I care about.
Okay. As far as the other survey questions, those are from what they did this year.
Exactly. We don't need that.
And we're on the same
page. Okay, we are on the same page. Man, everybody, if you've been with us for a while, you know that I had a huge goal at the beginning of 2016.
Right.
I used to work at a bookstore. I also just in general love to buy books. So I had accumulated tons of books that I had not read that were just sitting on my shelf, some for years. Maybe some not as long, but I mean, some for over 10 years just hanging out on my bookshelf unread. So I decided as 2016, well, actually towards the end of 2015 is when I came up with this idea. I am going to read in 2016 every book I own. And if I get to a book I don't want to read, I'm just going to sell it at half price books, donate the money to our water fund, and be done with it. And it to be honest, Ben, I'll tell the story here in a few minutes. It was a close call.
I
almost didn't make it.
You were really far ahead, and then I think you were felt you were yes. sitting a little too pretty.
That's exactly it. By the time we got to June, I was at such a good place. I was basically thinking, there's no way. It's almost impossible for me to not meet the goal at this point. So around July, I think I decided to get back into the Dark Tower series, which is a multi-book series that took
that we did three episodes on, so they're probably familiar.
Right. It took quite a bit of my year to get through those books. So then I had other books that were kind of getting left out in the dust. So when the fall hit, then I had to get back into the goal, now a little bit behind. And I had mentioned that our listeners, Brian and Melissa Kozer, had given me a book for my birthday. They heard how much I liked Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy at the beginning of 2016. So for my birthday, they gave me Douglas Adams' other series, well, just the first book, called Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency. And for no particular reason, I put it off.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't that I didn't want to read it. I didn't make an effort to read it immediately when I got it in May. And then, like I said, the summer hit and I was in Dark Tower. Then the fall hit and I was kind of wrapping up some other things. So I started this book, I believe, in November, but just read it sporadically. And on December 31st, I was thinking, I have to finish this book. I have 150 pages. The whole year's...
Wow, that's not that long of a book.
The whole year's goal will be ruined if I exit 2016 with one book left. So I read a ton that morning, and then that evening, my wife and I took our two-year-old to her first movie. We took Lily to see Sing, about the animals that sing.
Yeah.
We can talk about this later, but she didn't do great in the theater.
Movies are disastrous with children.
I mean, some parts were fun for her, but I think it was too much to ask to have her sit. She's 2 years old, an hour and a half, too long, I think. So anyways, we did that. Then we went straight to a New Year's Eve party, got home around 9.
And what do you mean you got home around 9?
Because we have a 2-year-old, so we had to get her in bed.
What's the point of going to a New Year's Eve party if you're going to get home around 9?
It's our Bible study. We all get together, hang out, have fun, play games, exchange Secret Santa presents.
Bail on the New Year's 3 hours before it hits.
I mean, there were people that left before us, so we were some of the late attenders. That's probably not true. But anyways, got home, and I asked Des, can I just have 1 hour to finish this book? Knocked it out, and I told you...
What would you have done if she'd said no?
She would have said yes. I mean, she knew about the goal the whole year. So I was Facebooking with you, but I finished my last book at 11:20 p.m.
Wow.
On December 31st. So just made it. But I can't tell you how good it felt to wake up on January 1st, 2017.
Never have to read again.
And knowing every book that I own in this home, I've read.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
It felt so good.
Man, I should have brought you a bag of books. Just to crush your spirit a little
bit. On the survey, when you talked about goals that or resolutions people may have when it comes to reading, the only thing I have, I think I might have two goals, but one of them is if I buy a book, I have to read it immediately because I can't let it build back up now. I'm in a really good place.
Well, building back up is part of the fun.
No, not for me.
Not anymore.
No.
It's a new day.
I mean, and you joked, are you going to stop reading? You asked me, Matt, are you going to stop reading now that you've read so much in 2016? Not completely, but I think I'm going to take a little bit of a break.
Well, yeah. Do you want to say how many books you read last year? It's an astonishing number.
Yes, I completed, in the year 2016, 144 books.
Yeah, and that's like 3 years ago. You read, what, 4 books?
Yeah. Well, I think I looked on Goodreads. I had 8 completed, but I think some of them were for grad school, so I didn't read them fully.
Oh,
so
I
think I finished 4 back in 2013 or something, or 2012.
So what, this is like 35 years worth of reading by 3 years ago standards.
Here, I quickly did this morning just to have some comparison. I started using Goodreads in 2011. So starting in 2011, here's the books I read per year. 2011, 26. In 2012, I read 20 books. In 2013, I read 8, but I've always had this number 4 in my head.
Yeah.
So I feel like some of those books, because of grad school, I maybe didn't read fully.
So do you still own those?
I hope not. Oh boy. I don't think I do, because they're all grad school books. I kind of got rid of a lot of those.
I bet they're around here somewhere.
No, I'm certain. I've scoured the shelves to make sure there were no...
Okay.
No, don't worry. Everything's fine.
I'm not worried.
2014, I read 29 books, and this is where I started to get more into reading. We were having
because
our challenges.
Yeah, everybody was making fun of you.
Yeah, 2015, 47 books, which I felt really good about last year.
That was good, yeah.
And then 2016, 144 books.
This is the first year you've beaten me on how many books we've
ever
read
in our lives.
And it's not even close.
What was your number?
92. 92.
Yeah. So I was pretty excited about this. So I broke down, because there's so many, and I know I'll probably never read this many again for a long time, I broke down all the books I read by which ones do I own versus which ones don't I own. And the reason I wanted to look at that is I knew during 2016 I was in the middle of this reading initiative. So how many books did I read that I didn't have to, right? Like how many didn't I own, so why would I even waste my time during the initiative? So
right.
I thought that would be interesting. How many books did I actually read the words on a page versus audiobooks? Because I do a lot of audiobooks. And that thought that number was actually kind of interesting. How many are fiction versus nonfiction? That was your recommendation.
Yep.
And one last category, which or how many books did I acquire in 2016? Again, knowing that I was in the middle of a goal to read all the books that I owned. So do you want to talk about that now or later?
Well, let's get to that. But do you want to know who won the contest from last year first?
Yes.
Okay. So this is interesting because people were going off of previous years for both of us, and this is the year they really shouldn't have done that in either case. Because in my case, I was trying to finish that puzzle. I said that in last year's books episode. And so
I don't remember. I haven't listened to the last year's book episode. Did you re-listen?
No. I just remember saying that.
You remember saying that?
Yeah. And so a ton of my books were either the majority of my books this last year were either audio while I'm biking or doing the puzzle or reading to my kids.
So do you have the same breakdowns, audio versus?
Yeah. Okay, I've got, I don't have acquired from this year, but then okay. I also have how many I read to my kids and how many were rereads.
Okay. See, I didn't reread anything as far as I know.
So everybody but one person guessed 100 or over for me. But KD, I don't know who that is. He just identified himself
but
as KD.
But you have their contact information, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good.
Guess 91 books for me. So he's off
wow.
by one.
That's great. Good job, KD.
Now, in your case,
yeah,
no one came close.
Well, historically, I haven't read a lot of books. I have been the type of person that starts books. And I mean, remember when my currently reading list was over 30 or something? It was
yeah.
crazy. I mean, right now I think I'm down to 14 and it feels really clean.
Right. Wait, you're currently reading?
Because they're books I don't own. They're books maybe.
Oh, yeah. I see.
So, okay. Maybe an audio book or.
Loophole.
Like I actually have the Bible listed because I'm quite kind of going through the Bible slowly.
Right.
Yeah, but I've read the Bible, so we're good there.
Yeah. So the lowest guess for you was 12. That wasn't good. But the highest guess is the winner, and it's still off by 60. Our friend Aaron Rainey guessed 84 books.
Oh, thanks,
for
Aaron.
You.
Appreciate that.
And so that he was the most optimistic, but even he's not even close.
Wow.
So I don't know if anybody there deserves a book.
Well, what about 91? 91 to 92, that was great.
Yeah, for me.
Oh, for me.
Yeah, but
mean.
For you.
No, Aaron, so this is how the contest goes. Listeners, if whoever won gets to... Wait, we pick a book and then mail it to them.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So
do you know what book you're going to be sending?
I'll probably Facebook Aaron and ask. I'll give him a few options and let him pick out of the options.
Oh, I think we should just tell him.
Okay. Maybe I will. Yeah. I don't know which
you're
one.
You're friendlier than me, so maybe you'll give up.
I haven't picked one out yet for him.
I am going to be giving the novel Silence by Shisakuru or whatever his Japanese name is, Endo.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So we'll talk more about that.
Awesome. Book, Aaron, I'll Facebook you or Facebook me if you're hearing this and I haven't contacted you yet.
That's probably the safer bet,
yeah,
Aaron.
Just contact me.
Like, what was it last year? I think
it was
August
months.
Before you said.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Who was that even for last year? Patrick.
Patrick
was 2 years ago.
Or was it? Oh, last year I think we screwed up.
Oh, last year we didn't have a winner, remember?
Yeah,
you messed
I
up
lost
the survey.
All the entries.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, so then I did a random drawing because it was the honor system. Anybody who wanted to send me an entry and say I entered. And so CJ won. I sent him How Dante Can Save Your Life.
Okay, gotcha. All right, let's do it. Let's break down first own versus don't own because you told me something interesting earlier about the books you read.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I own them all.
Yeah, every book you read this year, you own.
Yeah, I was going through... Because I exported from Goodreads my library, and I took out the books that I had read this last year, and then was kind of going through and just checking off ones I own, and I got like 20, 30 down, and I hadn't missed one yet, so I just looked at the rest of the list. I own all of these, so that was pointless.
All right, well, for me, you may be asking yourself, why would you read any books you didn't own
in 140
in 2016 if you have all these books you're trying to finish? Well, that's a good question. I think what it came down to is my library would sometimes have audiobooks available that I wanted to check out, and so audiobooks are pretty easy to get through, even if, I mean, I can listen at work, I can listen while I'm driving. So I think a lot of the don't own category...
It's audiobooks.
Well, actually, yeah, this is not 100%, but I would say, oh man, I should look more closely at this. But the own category is obviously real books. Like that's still in there.
Were there any books that you had in physical form, but you got the audiobook for anyway?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that still counted for you.
Yeah. So I have a lot of Christian living books I own. And so if there was one that was available on audiobook, I would listen to it and then I could knock it off the list.
Well, that's good. Because so you weren't so militant with yourself that you had to turn every page.
No.
Or did you go back and turn every page?
Well, I didn't turn every page, but I did keep track on Goodreads what page I was on.
Yeah. Oh, so I had a question for you about that. I forget what book it was, but there was one where... Like, you marked it, you were on page 201 out of 204. Why did you bother? Just finish the book.
Oh, I know why. Because I wasn't ready to write the review and mark it as finished, but I was done with it, and 201 is where the book ended. 204 included the index pages.
Well, you can go back and write your review later.
I know, but I like to do it as one motion.
All right.
So, all right, here it is. Own versus don't own.
That's a better answer than what, like, if you just gave up on the book with three pages to go.
I'm done.
Like, I better go update Goodreads.
So 33% of the books I read in 2016, I did not own. But luckily, the bigger percentage, 67% of the books I read in 2016.
So about 100 books you owned.
97.
Yeah.
Yep, 97. And then don't own, I read 47. So that's pretty interesting. But yeah. I think the most telling number is audiobook versus real read is what I was calling it. I actually turned the pages and read the words in the book. I knew I had done a lot of audiobooks, but out of the 144, 88 of those were audiobooks.
Wow.
Which is 61%, yeah. Which leaves me at 56 books, 39%.
Yeah, so I did 46 audiobooks, so exactly half of my list was audio. No, yeah, that's how math goes.
Yeah. Yeah, so I thought that was interesting. I mean, I knew that I probably had more on the audiobook side, but it was even more than I thought it was. So in a sense, it's a little disappointing because I think a lot of listeners feel like audiobooks aren't as good
A lot of listeners are wrong.
I think some people can't get into an audiobook and can't comprehend the material and can't get into the story that way. You and me happen to be people that do like audiobooks, but
yeah.
Like I have good friends that just don't like audiobooks. And so when I tell them I do audiobooks, I think to them, they're thinking of their own experiences.
Right.
And so then they feel like that doesn't really count. And I guess I understand the argument. I just don't personally agree.
Yeah. And it's not like we're not reading. I mean, that's still 60 books you
physically
read.
Yeah, so I still did 56 books that I read, yeah.
Now, you're not a rereader. Did you reread anything?
Actually, there was one. I forgot. There was one book that I reread because...
The Bible?
No, Wild at Heart by John Eldridge.
Oh, yeah.
I had read that in 2004 and didn't have the book, but then purchased it in the last 5 or so years. And so then I had it, and I felt like I should finish it. So I did finish.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not a reread, then.
Yeah, it's a reread because I read it twice. I read it
in 2004. Well, then you said you felt like you should finish it.
I know, because I read it in 2004, but it was a copy I didn't own. And so then I did own it again. I mean, I did own it. And so I felt like, well, now that I've bought this, I should finish it. Also, I think that one...
Had you started it again?
I think I'd already started it again, yeah. Because I think I started it when you and me were doing the...
We don't need to tell all those stories.
I mean, we were just going to be in a... We were going to lead a small group for men, and so I thought I should read that book. So I think I started it like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And just had it on my shelf, so I knocked that one out.
I reread 35 books.
Wow.
But that's part of... I bet you... Most, if not all, of those are audiobooks because I like to choose audiobooks I've already read.
Okay, that makes sense. And I do have a goal, not a goal, but I already know there's one book that I want to reread, but I'm doing it in audiobook form. One of my favorite fiction books I've ever read is called Replay by Ken Grimwood.
Oh, yeah.
And it was cheap on Audible, so I picked it up and I'm looking forward to listening to it next year, or this year, 2017.
All right.
All right, fiction versus nonfiction. You have your breakdown?
I thought I did. I didn't. I read 14 books to my kids, though. How about that?
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, fiction versus nonfiction for me. Another surprising number. Actually, interestingly, these numbers line up with what we just talked about. 56 of the books I read were fiction, 39%. 88 were nonfiction, 61%.
All right.
And you have nothing.
I don't have that.
I thought you were doing that, man.
Sorry.
Wow, way to mess up the episode.
I didn't read many nonfiction books this year.
Okay, so mostly
like
fiction.
Six or seven. Yeah, because, like, again, it goes back. It kind of all spills out of that. I was doing a lot of audiobooks and stuff, and so I generally don't like nonfiction audiobooks. I prefer fiction audiobooks because, like, nonfiction, you know, maybe you want to go read a footnote or something, and I don't know. But I'm more of a fiction guy for audiobooks.
Okay. Oh, I was going to earlier maybe define what I mean by own, because I own ebooks, but I didn't count that on my goal for the year. Because I'm talking about books
on
the
shelf.
Sounds
like a technicality.
Books, I mean, I'm making up my own goal, so who even cares? But I'm talking about books on the shelf.
Oh,
so,
I think all of us who've been cheering you on for the last year might care just a little.
I also own audiobooks that I haven't listened to yet.
Oh, man.
When I say I own it, I mean I physically own a copy. So what made me think of that is you had said, why don't you break down how many ebooks you read versus non-ebooks? And I actually only read one single ebook this year.
Oh, see, I love, you know, I know a lot of readers are anti-Kindle. I'm pro-Kindle.
I'm not anti-Kindle. I just like the page better. Or I even like audiobooks better.
Right.
Ebook is about let me think about this. Yeah, there's only three versions of ways you can read books. So ebook is my last place.
Wow.
Okay, acquired in 2016, only seven. Let me see here. I'm just looking quickly. One for work, one, two that I picked up that were work related, but I wasn't forced to read them. Here's another one for work, another one that I wasn't forced to read, but I read that's businessy. Okay, at a work conference, I had the option to buy a book that work was paying for, so I picked up a great John Maxwell book called Intentional Living.
I don't know if there's such a thing as a great John Maxwell.
I really like John Maxwell.
Well, don't read another one because they're all the same.
And then finally, Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency.
I think he just has a little machine and he presses a button and it jumbles his words together and spits out a new book.
I don't think we agree. John Maxwell's awesome. This book is a little spoilers.
Wait. You don't think his books are just a tad repetitive?
Well, I have only read a couple of them.
Okay, there you go. He's written like 500 books, and they're all like seven secrets to secreting secrets, and that, you know, and then he just divides those seven into three parts, and then he publishes 21 secrets.
A little spoilers for later, but when I list my top five nonfiction books,
John Maxwell,
Intentional Living, Choosing a Life That Matters. This is one of my favorite books all year.
Don't send that one to Aaron.
Maybe he'll want that one. Do you want to do our top fives? Do you have that available?
Let's get through the breakdowns first.
I think I did. That's it.
What about rating?
Oh, yeah. You had asked me to figure out my rating. So, this is going to be interesting. You're blowing your nose here again? Oh, yeah, boy. This is classic sci-fi Christian. Classic sci-fi Christian. During the first season, you were always blowing your nose right into the microphone. I don't know why.
I'm not doing it into the microphone. I leaned away.
All right. Why don't you talk for a second?
I could shut off my microphone.
Talk about your breakdowns.
I've got... I broke it down by how many I write 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, because Goodreads doesn't let you do half star ratings.
Okay, me too.
So 5 stars, I rated 40 books. 43% of my books were 5 stars.
All right, and I rated 48 of my books 5 stars. That's 33%.
4 stars, 26 for 28%.
I did 54 books at 4 stars, 38%.
3 stars, 18, 20%.
For me, 3 stars, 26 of the books I read were 3 stars, and that's 18% of my list.
2 stars, 8, 9%.
2 stars, 14, that's 10% of the books I read were only 2-star readings.
1 star, 0.
I had 2 books that I gave a 1-star rating to, but that only came out to be 1%.
And my average rating was 4.07.
Wait, tell me how to calculate that number. How do I find my average rating?
I added up all my ratings, and then I
don't want to do that.
Okay. I think it's safe to say, though, that I'm the more positive of us.
Well, what makes you say that? Because I know you like to say that, but what makes you say
well,
that?
Well, how many, like, we almost had the same number.
So let's just do percentage.
Okay.
33, five star. What's yours?
43.
Okay, that's pretty good. 38?
28.
See? I'll
but no,
there.
That's because you're more negative. Stuff that I would have rated five star, you were down in four star. You're a negative Nelly. And I try and hold up the positive end of this podcast the time from your relentless negativity.
I think that's true.
It sucks. Okay.
All right. How many new authors did you read this year?
Oh, my. 26 new authors.
That's really good, but not as good as me. 73 new authors.
Wow.
I mean, when you're going through 144 books, you're bound to come across a lot of
new untested voices in that pile.
Yeah. So that's all the breakdowns I did. I had a lot of fun putting this together just because, I mean, again, when am I ever going to read 144 books in 1 year and be doing a podcast at the same time?
Right.
So.
Well. Any year that you want to, like those two things aren't that hard to combine. As long as you read
it. You don't think it was hard to...
I guess the 144 books is the tougher part of that, too. You could just record something and say you're doing a podcast.
So as a podcaster, it's interesting, but having almost forcing myself to listen to audiobooks all year long, I'm really behind on other podcasts I listen to, so...
That's okay.
Yeah, so haven't been doing a lot of that. Basically, any free time I had to go to reading over TV watching or movie watching or... You know, I mean, even just like as I was doing chores, I always had an audiobook playing.
Yeah,
so.
I noticed that this Christmas you didn't do a lot of bad movies.
You're right. That's an interesting point.
You had like three of them.
Yeah, I know. We just couldn't get to it.
Do you feel better about that choice?
No, I actually feel bad. My wife and I every year watch kind of the ABC Family or Hallmark Family bad Christmas movies that are available on Netflix. In the past, we've done like 20 per season.
Right.
Christmas
it was like
season.
Every day last year.
Yeah, this year we only did, I think, two bad ones and then a handful of good ones. Like I like White Christmas, I like Elf. What other one that we said that was actually good? I can't remember. I think we only watched like five Christmas movies this year.
Wow.
And we usually watch upwards of 20.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That's a lot of Christmas.
Busy season. All right. We were going to do something else. What was it? Oh, yeah. Our top
fiction reads. Do you want to hear some of the listeners' top fiction reads of the year?
Yeah. Give me a break from talking so much.
Do you want me to say the listeners' names?
Yeah, I mean, do we say it was, that we would do that? Just give the first names.
Okay. John. Could be John Wilkerson.
Could be anybody.
Could be anybody. Ready Player One. Seth.
Wait, I just want to say I love Ready Player One. I honestly...
That's a solid book.
That's one of my favorite fiction reads I've read in the last 3 years.
Seth Heasley. I got to say his name because he has a podcast.
About reading and
exactly.
watching movies.
So yeah. pavementpounders.com.
That's right.
Fahrenheit 451.
I also read that this year.
Yeah.
But it was a second time for me.
Oh, so that's another reread.
I did it because I was a part of a book club. And
well, that counts as a reread.
You're right. I just forgot about it.
Okay. Just because you read it as part of a book club.
I guess I meant I didn't own the book. I read it as part of this book club.
I understand.
But okay, keep going.
Kevin Going Postal. Wayne. That's Wayne Henderson, everyone.
Well, I know it doesn't matter, but
I'm telling you, if they have a podcast,
okay,
I'm giving them press.
Okay, I like
Wayne
it.
Wayne does podcasts.
Yes, good job.
The Bill Hodges trilogy from Stephen King.
I don't know that one. Do you know that one?
I've never read it. It's a newer one. Greg, who doesn't do a podcast, so we'll just go by Greg.
Hi, Greg.
The Last Kingdom. Jake. He didn't even give his last name. Actually, there's two Jakes in here that didn't give their last name. They could be the same Jake.
Okay. Did they pick the same book?
No.
Okay.
But remember, CJ filled out the quiz twice last
year,
so this could be a CJ scenario. So first Jake said Fight Club. Second Jake said The Hike. Melissa.
Could be.
Kozer?
Could be.
She has a podcast, so I can say it. That's kind of an arbitrary, like. Anyway, I already outed her. Paradise Lost. How about that?
Oh, great. Hey, she had already mentioned that she was reading it because of our podcast. So thanks, Melissa.
Trevor, Hard to Be a God. And Brian Kozer, Anathem.
Oh, and then I wonder if he wrote that because of us also.
Probably.
Nice. Good work, everybody.
Yeah, we're having a positive influence on the Kozers.
All right. Can I talk a little bit about my fiction list?
Yeah, I have a top five.
Okay, for my top five... I tried to choose some that were more surprising rather than hitting the obvious ones. I just realized there's another reread on here for me. I in the late 90s, I read Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Yeah.
But then never read any of the other books. But my wife and I have been talking since we got married about reading through these books together.
Not worth it.
But then guess what? We ended up deciding we're going to go the audiobook route. So now I'm buying them through Audible. Okay. All that to say, I reread Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone to get back into the groove. But I made that my number six because...
Yeah, I always keep rereads off my top list.
I also, honestly, Fellowship of the Ring is one of my favorite books I read this year. I didn't want to list it, though, because everybody knows Fellowship is a great book.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I could...
You secretly got to go back and rate that 2 stars now?
No, this is a 5-star read for me. Of the Lord of the Rings trilogy...
This is supposed to be your top fiction reads, not your sneaky reads.
I know, but I'm trying to put some books out there that I think maybe people haven't heard of.
All right.
I don't want to be mad about this, but I love Paradise Lost, but I'm not gonna list it on my top five because we did so much on Paradise Lost.
But it wasn't one of your top five best reads of the year.
So these three, I'm not saying they're 6, 7, and 8. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying I put them almost as runners up because I want to talk about other things instead.
Well, you could have said, I've got three in here that I don't want to talk about because we talked about them a lot. So I'm going to talk about these three runners up instead.
Do you think I should have listed it? What do you mean? That's exactly what I just did.
No, no, no.
What you just described is exactly what I just did.
No. What I'm saying is that you should have ranked those three and then just talked about three of your runners up instead.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
That's an interesting idea. I'm not going to do that, but that is a great idea. But I guess
I haven't even heard your list and I'm already don't like it.
What I'm trying to get across is... Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, Fellowship of the Ring, and Paradise Lost.
One of those things is not like the others.
Those three books are three books I loved from this year, but that I didn't list on this top five.
All right.
Number five for me, not sci-fi, just a regular drama called The Light Between Oceans.
Oh, yeah, they made that. Wait, was that a movie?
It was a movie. I haven't seen the movie, but going back to that book club I was just mentioning, it was the first book we read. This book club has been interesting for me because almost every... month it's been a book I've never even heard of, but I'm almost
except Fahrenheit 451.
Exactly. Yeah. So because of that, I'm forced to read these things that I wouldn't have maybe picked up by myself, so it's been kind of fun to expose myself to these different things. Light Between Oceans I found to be really moving, well written, interesting characters. It really resonated with me because there's some things that have to do with fatherhood, and so yeah, I won't go all into it, but yeah, I love this book.
All right. Do you want me to do my number five, or do you want to do your whole list?
Number five.
My number five is Breakfast of Champions from Kurt Vonnegut. And
I like Kurt Vonnegut.
Yeah.
I've only read, though... Don't tell me. I know it. Why? It's slipping my mind.
It's a Lost book, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a book of Lost. Slaughterhouse-Five.
Yeah.
That's the only book I've read by him.
Yeah, this was my second Kurt Vonnegut book, and I liked it quite a bit. Part of what was fun is I listened to it, and John Malkovich is the reader, and there's a ton of drawings... in the book that are part of the plot.
Oh.
And so the narrator will say, and I drew, and here's a picture of blah, blah, blah. And then John Malkovich, in his wonderful voice, sits there and describes Kurt Vonnegut's drawings in detail, which was so much better than even seeing them yourself. Because he'd be the narrator would say, and here's a picture of my cat. And then Malkovich pauses, and there indeed is a picture of a cat. And it's so good.
You kind of sounded like him there for a second.
That's
pretty good.
Yeah. Number four for you.
All right. Number four is a book by Ernest Cline
I got so excited. I thought you were going Hemingway.
No, I've never read any Ernest Hemingway. So
he's the better literary Ernest.
We talked earlier about Ready Player One, but his second book, maybe not his second, but the second one I read from is called Armada. I read this earlier this year. Not this year, in 2016. And I don't know how much to say about it. It's definitely sci-fi. I mean, this author loves pop culture and science fiction, and I like the voices he uses for his characters. So Ready Player One is by far the better book, but I still really enjoyed Armada.
So rankings-wise, Ready Player One, Armada, Paradise Lost. Just like that.
I don't want you to feel like that's what I'm saying.
I feel like that's what you're saying.
Do you want me to okay, before we go a moment further into this countdown, let me tell you where I would put these.
You just
things.
Know I'm going to hold it over your head let for me just ever go. If... Yes.
I will make for you...
I want you to give your honest opinion.
Okay, let me think about it.
Okay.
Okay, number
My four. Number four is 6 Moral Tales from Eric Rohmer. So this is actually... there's a series of 6 movies from him. He's a film director, but before he wrote the movies, he wrote these out as short stories. The films follow the stories relatively closely. So the Criterion set comes with all six movies, but it also comes with the book that he published of the six moral tales. So I watched all the movies, loved them, then sat down and read the... Actually, I would watch one of the movies, then read the accompanying story and all that. They're really well done. I'd recommend both the movies and the book. He's a fascinating director who kind of draws you into complex internal worlds and moral conflicts and all that great stuff. So if you're looking for a complex, interesting director and author, Eric Rohmer, Six Moral Tales, recommended.
Awesome. All right, number three for me.
Yeah.
A book called Red Shirts.
Oh.
By John Scalzi. Is that his last name?
Scalzi, yeah.
Scalzi. All right. I don't know how much I want to say about this book. I'm going to give you a little bit, but I'm not going to go all the way with the plot.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to spoil it. Red Shirts is obviously a reference to Star Wars, although Star Trek, although this is not a Star Trek book. It's kind of playing on the idea that in Star Trek, the characters that were wearing the red shirts in the original series would often die on these away missions.
Right.
And so this book...
Isn't every mission an away mission for Star Trek?
Maybe. So the protagonists of Red Shirts are the red shirts of that crew. Okay. But then some twists and turns happen that I'm not going to get into, but I don't know how to explain it. This book has really stuck with me and kind of hung in the back of my mind all year long. I mean, it...
Well, I should say so if it's higher than Paradise Lost.
The twist in it is something that I really loved, and that's all I'll say about it for now.
Okay. My number three, Catch 22.
Another book of Lost.
Oh, yeah. Really good. Have you ever read it?
No, I should.
Oh, it's very funny. Okay. Yeah, good satire.
Good. Yeah. Do you want to say anything about it?
No. I mean, I'd say just dive into it. It's kind of fun because I just finished reading for my birthday, Annie and the kids had gotten me the Stanley Kubrick Archives, which is like a 900-page book that has tons of behind-the-scenes pictures and interviews and all that. Anyway, one of the things that they had in there was a conversation between Joseph Heller and Stanley Kubrick talking about Catch-22 and Dr. Strangelove, because they're both satirical war stories, and talking about dealing with serious matters in a satirical manner. Really good stuff. So, Catch-22.
All right.
Solid.
Nice. Let's do...
Number two.
Yep, number two for me will be a representative vote, but also the best one in the series. I don't know how I could talk about my top books of the year without talking about the Dark Tower series.
Right.
And my favorite book within the series, even though I love a lot of them, is book three, The Wastelands.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. That's really good.
So I think when I look back on my 2016 reading, although the goal was... such a big part of it, reading through Stephen King's books, specifically the Dark Tower series and all the tie-ins, I mean, that seems like the biggest chunk of my reading attention this year, other than my main goal.
Yeah.
And I didn't own any of the books I read from that series, and I bet I read, maybe we talked about it in the Dark Tower episode, but I must have read 13 or more books by Stephen King just during the course of the late summer and early fall.
Right.
So that was crazy. All right, number two for you.
Picnic at Hanging Rock. Now, this is another one where I saw the movie first and then read the book it was based on. Based on the title, so I saw the movie as I was watching through Criterion. And based on the title, I was expecting kind of a Jane Austen-style movie about picnics. And that's not what it is. I think it's one of those movies where the less you know going into it, the better. But it's a really fascinating story that is disturbing and creepy, but not a horror thing. And it's mysterious. You get a sense of the old gods lurking behind the scenes throughout the entire scope of the story, and people winding up in situations that are inexplicable and don't have answers. It's almost very Lost-like in some ways, but I would highly recommend Picnic at Hanging Rock, unless you are looking for a Jane Austen-style book on picnics.
This is not it. Not this one.
Right. Okay. All right, number one.
My number one fiction book of 2016 is a book I finished way back on January 8th of 2016.
Yeah.
So I read this early in the year, and then no other fiction books made the list other than Paradise Lost and Fellowship of the Ring.
Yep.
My real one and two.
Your real one and two.
But for the sake of this list, I'm listing The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, book one in that series. I've said it before on the podcast. Wait, we didn't do an episode on this, did we?
I don't think so.
I can't remember where I said this on the podcast, but just read book one and don't read any others. The book ends on, in a way that makes you think, oh, the story's going to continue. These characters are going to go on and we'll get answers to the, some of the mysteries. That's not true. The book, book one ends and the books two, three, four, and five all do their own thing, even though some of the characters show back up. So all that to say, even though there are some mysteries still hanging in the air, it's so good, it's worth just reading one, but I would not recommend any of the other books.
Correct.
All right. So that's my number one.
All right. My number one is Silence, which I already talked about a little bit. So are you familiar with this book at all?
I'm not.
So it's this Martin Scorsese movie that's just coming out is based on this novel. So the novel is about... it takes place in 17th century Japan, and it's about two Catholic missionaries from Portugal who are going to investigate rumors that their mentor, Father Ferreira, has apostatized in the face of persecution in feudal Japan. And so it becomes this fascinating journey as this internal and debate takes place among one of the priests who's played by Andrew Garfield in the movie. As he deals with what does it mean to have faith in the face of persecution? What does it mean to, where is God's grace for those who apostatize? Is there grace? There's a lot of references to both Judas and Peter. What did it mean when Christ said to Judas, what you do, do quickly? That's a point that he comes back to again and again and again in his internal monologues in the story as he wrestles with that question of what does apostasy mean for faith? Is there still room for grace and forgiveness for those who apostatize? And then his own pride and looking down on the Christians who apostatize in the face of persecution, wondering what is going on with Father Ferreira. There's a big influence from Heart of Darkness in this, in the sense of kind of going up the river. There's a lot of debate in the book as well about how do you take Christianity and bring it into a culture that is fundamentally just, it's such a different cultural place than Western Christianity, and how does that work? You know, when we eventually meet Father Ferreira, who's based on, who is not based on, but is a historical figure of a Portuguese missionary who apostatized in feudal Japan, there's a long debate about how he's claiming Japan is a swamp and the gospel can't grow here and we should have never come with the gospel. And the debate that it's just a fascinating book. I can't wait for the movie to come out. It's released. They released it like in New York and California, so it'll be eligible for awards, but it hasn't been released wide yet. But really a challenging book, a disturbing book in a lot of ways, but a great, great read.
Awesome. That sounds good.
Yeah, and it's not that long either. So it's like 7 hours on audiobook.
Nice. All right, let's do nonfiction.
All right, do you want to hear the listener's nonfiction?
Yeah.
All right, sorry, I was taking a drink of water right when I was supposed to talk. So that doesn't always work
well. No, it's all right.
All right.
Don't be ashamed.
I won't be. John said Argo. Seth said 7 Brief Lessons in Physics. Kevin said the joint contract between the United States Postal Service and the National Association of Letter Carriers. I don't think he reads much nonfiction.
Okay.
Wayne Henderson said John Eldridge's Moving Mountains. Greg, The Faith of Christopher Hitchens. Christopher Hitchens, of course, being a
famous
atheist. Yes. Jake, Night by Eli Weisel, which is a book I have in audio form, but I thought it was fiction, but it turns out it's not.
Okay.
Melissa, Eating on the Wild Side.
Wait, there were two Jakes last time.
Oh, yeah. Second Jake in The Kingdom of Ice. Trevor, Chase the Lion, and Brian, Mere Christianity.
Oh, glad he read Mere Christianity. That's a good one.
All right.
No, I didn't mention this, but I read a lot of C.S. Lewis this year.
Yeah.
Because I owned a lot, and that was a good experience as well. Although, interestingly, none of the C.S. Lewis books I read this year are going to show up on this nonfiction list.
Yikes.
But, I mean, Mere Christianity I love, but I read that in the past. Sorry, C.S. Lewis. Still like you. Okay. All right, I'll kick it off. Longtime listeners will know I'm a big Donald Miller fan, and for the first time this year, I read his book, Searching for God Knows What. It's pretty much similar to his other books, so right. If you like Donald Miller, you're going to like this book.
He's kind of the John Maxwell of a Donald Miller books.
He tells different stories, of course, and different life experiences, but it's all in memoir forms, has some humor, has some insight. Yeah, but it's pretty standard Donald Miller, but I liked it, so I like standard Donald Miller.
Right.
This one deals a lot with... I think the gospel and grace. I'm reading through my review here. It says,
sounds like it was beautifully.
Here's what I'll read real quick. One sentence: beautifully written and surprisingly insightful. Donald Miller uses his usual mix of humor and transparency to present an explanation for the gospel in relational language. In doing so, he was aiming at pulling our understanding of the gospel of Jesus out of the formulaic. This is straight from it. This is just a quote I'm reading now, so I'm going to stop it. But that's what it's about, and I loved it. Number five for you.
Number five for me is Jim Gaffigan's book, Dad is Fat.
All right.
I didn't read a lot of fiction this or nonfiction this year, but this one was okay.
Good.
Probably wouldn't have made my list if I had read more than six nonfiction books this last year, but I liked it.
All right. For years... I've been wanting to do an episode of the podcast on Satan and the real story behind Satan, because even though we talk about Satan being one of the fallen angels and that's what all the demons are, technically speaking, the Bible isn't 100% clear on if that's actual fact or if it's more tradition. Like traditionally, that's what people think about his origin. So this book, The Truth About Satan, A Spiritual Warfare Strategy Aimed at Satan's True Identity by Russ Dobler.
Isn't it called The Truth About the Liar?
Yeah, what did I say?
The Truth About Satan.
Oh, yeah. It's called The Truth About the Liar.
I like his title better.
Yeah, I messed it up.
That's okay.
Russell Dobler, The Truth About the Liar, that basically tackles what I was just talking about. What is it? Takes apart what's in the Bible and looks at the verses people often quote as being about Satan's origin, and then he dives into, does this make sense, or is a different explanation more likely? Yeah. So, The Truth About the Liar.
So, and yeah, we want to do a Satan episode sometime.
Yeah, it's...
Searching for Satan.
Yeah, I like it. Let me write that down. Okay, you're number four.
My number four is a book called What If? Subtitle is Serious Scientific Answers to Absurd Hypothetical Questions. If you're familiar with the comic XKCD, this is the guy who writes that. And essentially, it's just him answering a bunch of... absurd questions like what would happen if you tried to hit a baseball that was going the speed of light, you know, so and then just going through scientifically all the ramifications of what would happen. And that's, and they're, I don't remember the others, but they're pretty wild. Anyway, it was entertaining.
All right.
Three.
Number three for me is called A Severe Mercy, A Story of Faith, Tragedy, and Triumph. This is written by Sheldon Vanneken. And he is a real-life friend of C.S. Lewis. So this story told about Sheldon's life and his... but kind of tells the story of how him and his wife met, fell in love.
Got married.
Yeah, in the mix of that, C.S. Lewis is a character in his... I mean, well, it's the real C.S. Lewis, so not a character. Right. But he is a friend of theirs. So there's actually some letters from C.S. Lewis in here that they exchange and kind of goes through... This author's life story in which he deals with, and this happens in the prologue, he reveals that his wife dies earlier than they would have hoped. I can't remember. I mean,
that's a really weird way to phrase it.
Right. Well, like, it wasn't
early. When was he hoping?
Well, let me say this. I was going to say early in their marriage, but that's not true. It wasn't early in their marriage, but it was... I think earlier than they would have hoped.
She died prematurely.
Yeah, she died prematurely.
Right.
Earlier than they would have hoped.
Earlier than, yeah.
Any of them.
I hope I don't die earlier than you hope. When are you hoping I die?
I don't want to mention it on the air. Okay. So, great book. That's my number three, A Severe Mercy.
Number three for me is a book we used on the podcast. Because I don't mind putting books on my list that we've already talked about if they're deserving.
Mm-hmm.
Hamlet and Purgatory, which we use for our Hamlet and Purgatory episode.
What? We did a book?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we talked about Hamlet, but we didn't talk about... So you read a book about Hamlet in Purgatory.
Yeah, I based that whole conversation off this book.
Oh, gotcha.
Right.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, totally.
Of course. Number two.
Number two for me, Intentional Living, Choosing a Life That Matters by John Maxwell. Ben, let me ask you a question.
Yeah, I've read some John Maxwell.
You love him?
They're all the same.
Oh, what do you mean by that?
Just go browse through his books in a bookstore. They're all the same.
All right. So I heard him speak at a conference on this topic about adding value to people, okay? Basically, pouring into the life of others. And I heard him at three different conferences. I heard him bring this up over the course of a few years, and I wanted to read more about it, so I finally picked up the book. I was at the Global Leadership Summit, which what's that church? Willow Creek. Willow Creek puts this on every year.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And my work went, or a bunch of people from my office, and so we were able to pick up a book paid for by my work. I picked up this one, Intentional Living by John Maxwell. Loved it. I thought it was one that really motivates you to make a change in your life and to think about others. And I recommend it to you, Ben. Maybe I'll buy it for you for your birthday.
He really likes platitudes.
All right, number two for you.
I was just going to read you some of the titles of John Maxwell.
Let's just let it go. Number two for you.
The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. The 15 Invaluable Laws. He's like BuzzFeed the book. That's what he is. Intentional, that's the one you had. The 5 Levels of Leadership.
I read that one this year.
Yeah, they're all the same. Like, you just read his titles, and you can get the entire book just from the titles.
Number two for you.
The Sign of the Cross by St. Francis de Sales.
I just realized a big difference between you and me when we do these top fives or top tens. Or even when we're talking about, like, let's say Force Awakens. I'm giving things I like. It doesn't matter what I say. You'll try to find something wrong with it.
Correct.
And when you give your vote, I'm always like, oh, that sounds pretty good.
Right.
Listeners.
Well, actually, that's not correct. If you'd put Paradise Lost number one, I would have said, well done, Matt.
Let's try to talk to the listeners here for a second. Okay, so people, I need your support out here. It's tough being a co-host with Ben sometimes.
Well, it's tough being a co-host with such a negative Nelly like you.
All right, what are you saying, number two?
Sign of the Cross by St. Francis de Sales.
Sounds pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Anything you want to say about it?
Well, he's a doctor of the church. Yeah, it actually was a defense against Protestant arguments against making the sign of the cross. Oh. He won me over.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, next book for me, number one. It's a book going behind the scenes on a movie franchise I love called Back to the Future. It was put out for the 30th anniversary. It's called We Don't Need Roads, The Making of the Back to the Future Trilogy. The author interviews tons of the people from behind the scenes, including director Robert Zemeckis. We got Bob Gale, who helped write it. A lot of the actors.
Right.
Great read. My number one nonfiction read of the year.
Well, that sounds pretty solid.
Thank you.
Sounds pretty interesting.
Thank you.
Sounds even better than John Maxwell.
And what was your number one?
My number one is a tie. 2 Stanley Kubrick books I read.
Nope, you can't tie.
Well, I have a tie.
You can't.
Well, the dad is fat gets kicked off.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Kubrick Inside a Film Artist's Maze. Kubrick, the Definitive Edition. Yeah, I learned a lot.
Good.
Educated myself.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah. All right.
I just remembered I had prepared a list of top 5 marriage books and top 5 parenting books because, as you often made fun of me throughout the course of last year,
I owned
so many marriage books. I had to read a lot. I should have got the number of how many marriage books I read last year.
It was an unhealthy amount.
Can you talk about something for a quick second?
Well, I'll read everybody's favorite overall read.
Good.
So, as you can guess, most people chose either their favorite fiction or favorite nonfiction.
Yeah, how could you not, right?
Well, one of the Jakes chose a different book. He chose Off to Be the Wizard by Scott Mayer, which I also read this year. And that was a fine book.
Okay.
Anyway, other choices. Everybody chose their fiction choice except for Greg chose The Faith of Christopher Hitchens. And second Jake chose The Hike by Drew McGarry.
All right. I read 17 marriage books last year.
Holy 17. Smokes.
Here are my top 5. Why don't we call it down? Go ahead. Give me number 5. Number 5. It's called Sacred Marriage. Have you heard of this one?
Nope.
This is by author Gary Thomas. The subtitle is, What If God Designed Marriage to Make Us Holy More Than Make Us Happy? that subtitle pretty much summarizes and sums up what the book is about. But
have you noticed that that's a common theme among Christian living books?
Oh, yeah, for sure. But this is actually a really good topic that I think is important, so I appreciate that. Number four for me.
Wait, number four.
Number four is called The Love List. Here's a subtitle for you. 8 little things that make a big difference in your marriage. Thoughts? Oh, you're going to blow your nose again. Great. This book's made up of 8 points. Actually, yeah. Kind of 8 actions that you can take to improve your marriage. I think
there's an introduction chapter, 8 chapters, wrap-up chapter.
Let me read my review real quick. It's pretty short. The ideas are separated into groups of 2 so that there are 2 things you should do once a day, once a week, and once a month, and once a year. So you're wrong. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I found this book to be very helpful with some great ideas. I've read quite a few marriage books recently, but this book has some original ideas I haven't seen anywhere else. And the reason I wanted to read that line is because having read 17 marriage books, most of them being Christian marriage books, almost all of them are exactly the same.
Correct.
So this list, I'm trying to bring out some that I think are some of the better ones because there's not a lot of unique material in most of these books.
But again, this is a book I feel could have been written on a single piece of paper.
No, not necessarily.
Yeah.
This is by Les and Leslie Parrott.
That's weird.
One's name is Les and one's name is Leslie.
Yeah, don't do that. I feel like if you meet somebody who has the same name as you, you cannot marry that person.
It's not the exact same name.
But like you could just, okay, here's the things you do once a day. Boom, boom. Once a week. Boom, boom. Month, year, you're done. Anyway, number 3.
A book that, for whatever reason, had different material than just every other Christian marriage book. It's called Love is a Decision by Gary Smalley and John Trent. Just well-rounded book with some great material. Now that I think about it, I probably, because so many of the other marriage books have similar material, on my top 5, you're kind of not getting any of the basic stuff. You're getting more of the unique marriage books.
Oh, I bet you get all the basic stuff too.
So that's that. Number 2 for me. Number 2 is Francis Chan and Lisa Chan's book, You and Me Forever, Marriage in Light of Eternity. Again, based on the subtitle, you can figure out there's a strong emphasis.
At least they have different names.
There's a
Francis and Fran Chan.
There's a strong emphasis in this book on really thinking about how your actions here will impact your eternal life in heaven. And I think the reason that resonated with me is I think I sometimes struggle with looking forward to eternity. Like, I like my life here, I like my family. Not that I'm not happy to be with God in heaven, but I do feel kind of content. I guess just in general, Francis Chan is trying to encourage readers to consider all their actions in life, how it will impact eternity and their life in heaven, whether it's marriage related or not. But yeah, there is a strong emphasis on spreading the gospel, and I think there's even some controversial things in here when it comes to what most people would say when it comes to your first ministry is your marriage. Put that first. I don't think Chan would agree with that. So, yeah, interesting book. So that was my number 2. So go ahead.
Yeah, I read a few Francis Chan books a while back. I'm not a Chan fan. Okay. Anyway, number 1.
Number 1 for me is called Why Marriages Succeed or Fail and How You Can Make Yours Last. This is not a Christian marriage book. Yeah, but the reason
The lesson here is get God out of it, and the quality of the book just skyrockets.
The lesson here is that this psychologist, John Gottman, did 20 years of studying and had these really helpful, valuable insights based on his study. It's so valuable that I'm not kidding. I bet half of the marriage books I read, the Christian marriage books, referred back to Gottman's study continually. So I had to actually read the source material. You know, now I think about it, I think I got this from Focus on the Family. So even though it's not necessarily a Christian-based book, they must see that there's some Christian value in it.
It sounds like it focuses on the family.
The book or the
book.
Podcast? Not necessarily. It focuses on what things you can do in your marriage
to make it better.
Or what are some warning signs that you might not be on the right path, that kind of thing. So, Why Marriages Succeed or Fail by John Gottman, best marriage book of the year.
Right.
All right, parenting. Well,
that was a good list.
Let me do the parenting ones real quick. I won't do all the explanation.
Okay, 5.
Father Hunger by...
Sounds like cannibalism.
Father Hunger. That you're going to feel so bad when I tell you about it. I grew up without a dad.
Oh, dear. gonna let that hang there.
Yeah, so I grew up without a father, and so this book is actually about what, how does that impact you psychologically, and how can you kind of deal with that,
yeah,
if you
have that
if you have this desire to have a relationship with your father or a father hunger.
Four.
Do you have any comments?
Don't stop.
You have any funny comments for that?
Nope.
Next book, similar theme, called Father and Son, The Wound, The Healing, The Call to Manhood. This one is by Gordon Delby.
Three?
Number three is a book that, again, I heard on Focus. I heard about it on Focus on the Family. It's called GIST, G-I-S-T, The Essence of Raising Life-Ready Kids by Michael Anderson and Timothy Johansson. Do you want me to talk about this, or should we just go on to the next one?
I think I got the gist of it.
Ah,
number two.
Number two, The Difference a Father Makes, Calling Out the Magnificent Destiny in Your Children. This one is by Ed McLassen, former NFL football player.
Yeah, if you want parenting advice, go to the NFL. That's for sure.
And number one.
Number one.
The Way They Learn. This is by Cynthia Tobias. What's interesting about this book, this will be the only one I say a few words on, similar to the love languages that a lot of people are familiar with, where there's five different styles that people like to receive love. This one talks about four different learning styles that your children may have. I won't go into all of them, but it explains them and lets you try to figure out what kind of learning style you have versus what kind of learning style does your child have, and maybe there could be a disconnect in how you're trying to teach them versus how they learn. So a really valuable short book, The Way They Learn, Cynthia Tobias.
All right.
All right.
You want to hear some biggest reading surprises?
Yeah.
All right. I'm not going to say anybody's name because that's just been a disaster so far. Surprises. Doctor Who, Demon Quest, Sleeping Giants, reading the short story Bartleby the Scrivener. That's a good one. Blake Crouch, Wayward Pines Trilogy.
Oh, well, I liked the first season of that show, so that'd be kind of cool. Yeah.
T.H. White's The Once and Future King.
Hey, that's...
But the surprise was that it's a mixed bag.
Hmm. Now, you made a recommendation to me off the air. I said I wanted to read the King Arthur mythology, and you said, don't read Once and Future King, read...
Well, if you want, you wanted to read like the original. There really isn't an original, but you know, La Morte d'Arthur is the one White drew quite a bit from.
So, if you could only read one, you would read.
I'd probably go La Morte d'Arthur.
Okay, why is that again? Just because it's the original,
Or it's not the original, but it's more original.
Okay.
Yeah. How many books I started and didn't finish? The Phantom Tollbooth, The Giver, The Alchemist. How much I enjoyed Inferno and the Iliad. My answer was Silence. Your answer was Red Shirts.
Yeah. I was surprised by that one.
Surprise. All right.
What other questions did you ask?
Biggest disappointment. I suppose this is just going to be me reading stuff for a while here.
That's all right.
Finding Faith Inside the Big Blue Box. A Whovian's 30-Day Devotional. Yeah, never buy a sci-fi themed devotional. You're asking for it there. Civil War? I'm not sure if that's the Marvel Civil War, just something about the Civil War. No, not but like the comic books.
Oh, people are talking about comic books in this list too? Maybe.
They could have written anything they wanted in here, and I would have taken it. Revisiting David Eddings, The Book of Merlin by T.H. White, which is part of The Once and Future King. Mm-hmm. Blood Republic.
That's one thing about reading Once a Future King that I like, is that it's actually broken up into multiple books, so I can knock out like six books with that one experience.
You can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's one book. If On a Winter's Night, a Traveler, I agree with that. I tried to read that book and couldn't get through it. Invincible Volume 1, Family Matters. Well, that's a graphic
that's
novel.
That's definitely a graphic novel.
The Man Who Was Thursday. I like that book. Oh, you're not going to be happy with this last one. Ready Player One.
The person hated it?
Well, disappointed by it.
Well, I liked it.
All right. I put down three books. To Kill a Mockingbird. Now, again, disappointment doesn't mean hated,
mm-hmm.
but
you
To Kill a
hopes.
Mockingbird, not as good as people say it is.
Okay.
The Wind Through the Keyhole.
Oh, yep. Dark Tower, yeah. Book 4.5 yeah. that came out years later.
And then The Yiddish Policeman's Union by Michael Chabon. Oh, Chabon.
Interesting that you brought up that book because I know. I'm about to bring up a different book
by
him
on.
Later.
Okay. Yeah, next column. Your answer was...
Well, what's the next column?
No, your answer for biggest disappointment was, do you remember? No. The Space Trilogy.
Oh, yeah. C.S. Lewis's disappointing three-book series that was all just a mess.
Yeah. All right. Biggest, no, book you wish you'd read in 2016 but didn't get to. Ben and Matt's Zany Adventures in Podcasting.
Hey, that's a really great book.
The Man in the High Castle.
That was sort of a disappointment, actually. I'm glad I read it for the experience, but it's not as good as... Like, if you're expecting something that's similar to the Amazon Prime show, I'm guessing it will not be, even though I haven't seen that show.
Yeah, thank God. It's better.
So you've watched Man in the High Castle, the TV show?
I've watched some of it. Not good.
Oh, okay. So you think the book
novel is...
The
novel is much better, yes.
But it can be disappointing if you don't know what to expect.
Yeah. And then Kevin has a very ambitious list here. Les Mis, Lord of the Rings, Summa Theologica, and the Book of Maccabees. That is a lot to pack into a year. Anything by Francis Schaeffer, The Reluctant Tommy, I don't know what that is, Lord of the Rings, Metro 2033, Zero K, Church History in Plain Language, and The Gunslinger.
Oh, good.
All right, goals for 2017. Oh, and then I put down... The Remembrance of something. I don't remember the title. That's kind of funny since it starts with The Remembrance. But anyway, it's Proust.
Okay, I remember what I put down for my goals.
Yes. I forgot to read our answers. So this is, what book do you wish that you'd gotten to in 2016 but didn't get to?
Was this the Michael...
Yeah, yeah. So this, you put down The Amazing Adventures of Cavalier and Clay.
By Michael...
Chabon.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. What about you? What do you wish you had got to?
Proust.
Oh, right. Remembrance.
Yeah. Yeah. Remembrance of something.
All right. So my goals for 2017 are the following. A little bit more low-key. I'm going to make sure I keep up on reading every book I own. So if I get a gift or if I buy one, I'll instantly read it or soon. And another one I have is I've had the audiobook now for the complete Sherlock Holmes for over a year. And I have been slowly going through it, but I got to knock that thing out. I still have tons of... it's so long, but...
It's very long.
I'll knock that out.
You can do it in no time. That's only like two Dark Tower books.
Yeah, I'm not worried I won't be able to do it. It's just... it's something I wish I had finished last year, even though it wasn't technically part of the goal.
Well, it technically was, since you own it.
Okay.
My goal would be to get back to reading on a regular basis after I finish my puzzle.
You know, actually, technically speaking, I know this is a books episode, but my real goal for next year
is to not read.
Is to now watch every DVD or Blu-ray that I have.
Yeah.
So, sort of the next phase of my cleaning out my apartment stage.
That's a good goal.
Yeah.
50 books. That's just the only answer we got from John.
Okay.
To read my age, 45. Read more Hugo winners. Read at least one book a month. To read more books in 2017 than in 2016. Seminary. Somebody's going to seminary, so they're going to have a lot of reading seminary. Take more audiobooks on my bike rides.
Yeah.
Read at least 20 books. Make a dent in the Western canon. I'm currently reading Don Quixote, but won't finish until the new year. I think he means 2017 new year. To not focus on the amount of books I read. To focus more attention on challenging reads. My parents had me start tracking the books I read when I was 8. Since then, I've read 983, so my goal is to get to 1,000 by the time I turn 28 early this year.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, I just realized I also want to read Don Quixote in 2017. Yeah. I think that's going to be one of our big initiatives together.
I like it. All right, what are some books you are planning to read in 2017? The complete Harry Potter series. There's just a bunch of answers, so I'll just read some of them.
All right.
Les Mis, I Don't Know Yet, See Above, The Reluctant Tommy. Didn't they already read that one?
Maybe it's somebody else.
I've never heard of that book. The Dark Tower series, Snow Crash, all sorts of stuff. Anyway, my answer was I have a David Lean book that I've had for a while, but I want to finish watching all his movies before I read it. Fairy Queen by Spencer, epic poem I've never read. Proust, which I have started now. So Proust's novel, Remembrance, whatever it's called, is a 7-volume novel, and I'm in the first volume. Okay. So that's going well. And then Singleton's translation and Notes of Dante, which I've also started.
Good. And you have my list in front of you?
Yeah. So you said The Prestige by Christopher Priest, Replay, Harry Potter Book 2, The Martian Chronicles. That's a good one.
Yeah, by Ray Bradbury.
Did you buy it when I told you to buy it?
I did.
All right. Dirk Gently, Book 2.
Yeah, and it's not called that. I think it's called, like, The Long Tea Time of the Soul or something.
And that's it.
Well, so. I also, well, like I said, Don Quixote, finished Sherlock, and we had talked on and off about doing Beowulf together this year.
Yeah, we should do Beowulf.
So maybe that'll be on the list, too.
All right, then the last two categories were just how many books are you and I going to read this year?
Well, we're still allowing people to send in the survey. So even though some people have done this in time for this episode, you have until, what, the end of January to send in your guesses for how many. Wait, so you can fill out the survey, even though really there's no point because we'll never mention it.
Just for fun.
Just for fun for you. But the most important thing is the last two questions are guess Ben's book's number and my book's number for reading in 2017.
Right.
And then you can try to win the book from us next year.
Yes. All right. Just like KD and Aaron did this year.
Congratulations to you two, and congratulations to all of you for being here for the beginning of season 7 of the Sci-Fi Christian.
That was a good episode.
That was a good episode. Fun. I love talking about the books. It was a great...
Congratulations. I know I was giving you a hard time about your goal, but you finished it, and that's well done, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It was just an awesome experience for 2016, so I definitely encourage you out there. Hey, if you are out there thinking I'm going to do that in 2017, send us an email at feedback@thescificristian.com. We'd like to hear your story as well. Well, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono.
We are the Sci-Fi Christians, signing off.
So how many, like, how is your movie goal in comparison to that?
Well, the movie goal is a little different because I want to watch the ones that Des also brought into our marriage, not just the ones that I did. Just because then... In a sense, it will give us a chance to review the movie together and say, do we really want to keep this on ourselves, whether it's mine or hers?
Right.
So I think, I don't know, it'd be kind of fun to get rid of a bunch, I think, this year. Try to clear up some space.
So any movies I want you to watch, I should give to you very soon.
Yeah, probably pretty soon.
All right, yeah.
So here's a little update. I don't mind putting this out in the air. So,
okay.
I don't think we're going to buy a house this year like we had originally talked about.
All right.
So I think we'll be in this apartment for another full year. So our lease is up in June. So again, until next June. So along the way, then now that I've done this book thing where I've got rid of a bunch and I'll be getting rid of a bunch of movies. And as you remember from your Christmas present, I've been getting things,
right?
Rid of things from random boxes in my closet.
Will I be getting more Christmas presents?
Probably.
Yep.
So,
MLK Day right around the corner.
But on the other hand, we did just get a minivan so we can transport our family around now. So it was kind of a trade-off. We could either have a new home.
Or a new car.
And my car was done.
So it's dead?
It's not dead, but guess how much the trade-in value was for it? I've had it since 2005.
$400.
$295. That's how much I got for it.
I think that usually just means... They're trying to be a little nice.
They're like, here. In fact, he actually bumped up to $300. He told me $295, and then he said, I'll put in an extra $5 for it. I was like, thanks. But yeah,
it wasn't
undrivable, but it was at the point where I needed to do another hundreds of dollars of repair. And we've known for about a year we were going to get a minivan. Just we were waiting until the next big bad thing happened with my car.
Right.
Because I think over the last 2 years, though, this is sad, but I bet I put over $1,000 into it, and now I got a nice $300 back.
Yeah.
So we'll be still here at the apartment, so I just got to keep cleaning and get rid of things to make room for the new baby who could be arriving any day. Could be
now.
Tonight.
I mean, she could be at the hospital
right
now.
Where's
my
phone? Yeah. Actually, I should probably have my phone on me.
But how many DVDs do you have? Like, is it hundreds?
I'll show you after we get off the air here. So let's hang up. Not hang up. Let's just shut this down, and we'll talk, and then... well, maybe we'll do a quick news episode.